The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes out and sells all he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it." The gospel of the Lord. One of my priest friends was telling me recently about how his church, which is a very large and vibrant community, he says, "We go into summer mode in July and August." And I said, "What does that mean?" He says, "Well, it's kind of hard to find altar servers or readers. And our choir takes off for the entire season because we're in summer mode." I said, "Well, I'm not sure what summer mode means, but at St. Martin de Porres Catholic Church, we got readers and ushers and altar servers, and we got a choir this morning. We got drums and flutes and piano and bass and violins, because God is good and all the time. See, God takes no break from blessing you. God blesses you in July. God blesses you in January. God blesses you in the heat and the cold. And God is worthy to be praised. And so I'm so glad God woke me up this morning. I'm so glad to be in the service one more time. I'm so glad to be up in here one more time. I'm so glad to be up in this place to give God the highest praise. Every praise belongs to our God. This is Lift Up Holy Hands this morning, church. Those who aren't afraid to just lift up their hands and to say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord," because we thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to be in your presence, Lord. We know that the word of God is strong. We know the Eucharist is there to satisfy us, Lord. So rain down your blessings today on your people, that the word proclaimed and the word preached might find a home in our hearts. In Jesus' name, let the church say, amen. 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 I'm quite sure you've noticed outside of this beautiful cathedral, our church home, there are two flags that fly. There's an American flag, and there's a papal flag. That's significant because we're Catholic. I mean, we're tied to something way beyond our local community. We're tied to a family that goes universal, because the word Catholic means universal. But also, we are Americans. We have some in our midst who have served our country so faithfully. Mr. Gus Johnson and so many others. We're veterans of our country. A round of applause and a thank you for our veterans who served us. But I dare to say, church, that we live in some unique times as Catholics in America. I remember the day Like yesterday, when I heard that Pope Benedict XVI decided to retire, to resign the papacy. It's unheard of, because for centuries, a pope has not done that. And we had watched Pope John Paul II literally struggle to live and die before our eyes. Unheard of that a pope would resign, not so much for health, but just the fact he recognized somebody else needed to step in. I like Pope Benedict because it took tremendous humility for a man, and a church man especially, to be humble enough to know I'm not the right person right now. It's kind of like a young lady who gets pregnant and knowing that abortion is not an option, but also knowing she's not prepared to give that child what that child truly needs, and makes a choice to allow that child to be adopted, that somebody else would take that child and raise it well. In my own family, we have children who've been adopted, been welcomed because of various circumstances, recognizing that the better choice is to let somebody else take care of it because I don't have the strength. Pope Benedict retiring, resigning, was not a sign of his deficiency, but his love for the church, which made a pathway for Pope Francis. Thank God for Pope Francis. Because he comes to us not so much as a prince, but a pastor. Someone who walked the streets of Argentina. Someone who rode the subway. Imagine a pope riding a subway. Because he wanted to be close to his people as a pastor and a cardinal, a leader. Someone who has truly simplified the church from all the trappings that get in the way sometimes of what truly matters. Allowing us to go and think about the poor in our midst. Those who struggle in our midst, those who've been cast out in our midst, and go to the peripheries, the farthest ends of the earth, to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Totally changed how we understand leadership in the church. That's why when he came to America, even the non-Catholics were excited to see Pope Francis, because he represented something we had not had. A pope who went to prison right up on State Road. But some of us know we have folk up in there to remind them that God's mercy can get through a prison, to remind them that God loves them, to remind them trouble don't last always. What leadership we have in him. And church, we're also America. I remember sitting on my couch when I heard the first time President-elect Trump. And all those who were shocked, all those who couldn't believe it, all those who didn't vote, not just for president, but for Senate. We know how important the Senate is. It's political science 101 to know we have three branches of government. But some of us sat home in cynicism. Someone says, I don't like her. And we received the 45th president of the United States. A man who desires to tweet at all hours of the night nasty things about people. A man who will lie so quickly and turn something around. A man who has shown himself to be an arrogant person. These are facts, not alternative facts. These are facts. Facts. A man who has mocked people showed himself to be what he truly is. Even those who say they have his back. He's the kind of leader that if you cross him or do something that he doesn't agree with, he will cut you like Twitter. But at the same time, we know if he goes to an arena, how it's sold out, how he's been able to tap into a part of our population that truly believes we can make, we ought to make America great again. I'm saying this today, church, not to be political. I'm saying this today, church, not to have you place Pope Francis and President Trump together. I'm not here to give a lecture, church. I'm here because the Word of God told me to speak about this today. It's the Word this morning, the Word. Because if you were listening today in 1 Kings chapter 3, you heard about leadership today. Leadership today. Leadership as God sees it. The Lord said to Solomon, who is now king, replacing David, what do you want? Sister Lynn Marie and her welcome asked those questions. Imagine if God said to you, what do you want? I want a brand new black Lexus, shiny. I want some more money, better job. I want a nicer home. Or even things that, Lord, I want you to fix this health issue I have. I want you to take away my addiction I have. I want you to set my family right, Lord. All kinds of things, both secular or spiritual, we could ask of God. And Solomon says, Lord, if you hear my plea is very simple. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding heart to judge your people and distinguish right from wrong. For who is able to govern this vast people of yours? Solomon asked for wisdom because Solomon knew, as it was in the beginning, is now, and always will be, there's right and there's wrong. And even though we try to twist them together, there's right and wrong. And sometimes we can't always see the difference. So Solomon says, Lord, give me the wisdom to see the difference, that I can govern this vast people of yours, knowing that it's not about him. Because an authentic leader knows it's not about him, it's about the people. We, the people, this is our country, it's our church. And God smiles upon Solomon's request because Solomon has gone after the pearl of great price. That pearl that Jesus talks about in the gospel today of Matthew. That pearl that's there, buried. You know it's there. You'll do anything you can to get it. The old psalmist says, I'm so satisfied with my Savior. He means more to me than anything this world could ever offer me. If that's the kind of Savior you have, if that's your desire for God, you'll do anything to find that pearl of great price. And then you hold on to it two hands because you know that's a gift from God. Oh, Solomon knew, Lord, I don't need your treasures. I don't need all the things of this world. I'm just so satisfied to serve you and your people. Just give me what I need to be faithful to them, that they might grow and be the people you've called them to be. That's leadership. That's leadership. That's real leadership. That's someone who cares. Not about their reputation. Not about pleasing people. Not about the base. But someone who truly cares that the people grow and become what they're called to be. Church, we got to stay together. We cannot allow anyone to separate us as a people, a Catholic people, American people. We got to stay together. And sometimes we're going to disagree. We have to always be respectful and always work together. A lady said to me one time, she was so angry about the president. And I said, you can't change him. You better pray for him. But her point was, she felt that his policy and his personality was divisive, divided people, immigrants and natural born, Muslims and Christians, transgendered and those of us who are not. And it goes on and on. I said, the very thing you distaste in him, then you have to make that happen in your life. That means you got to be a bridge builder. To serve people, to love people, to be intentional about building a beloved community. That's what it means to truly be church. That's what it means to be on the right side of God. That's what it means not to be put your energy in trying to fix him. But I tell you one thing, you better vote next time. You better vote. You better vote. But also, we have to lift up those who are poor. We have to help our young people know to go to college and not make these crazy bills, because who's going to help you pay them off when you get out of there? It's reaching across the aisle and being with people you disagree with, but can still work with. It's about understanding, what's it like for someone to struggle with their sexuality, to struggle with their gender identity? Perhaps you don't get that, but that's somebody's child. That's somebody's baby. And if you are truly a pro-life people, then all life belongs to God. All life, from the womb to the tomb, belongs to God. Solomon prayed for wisdom, and God heard his prayer. Solomon prayed not to be this wonderful king. Lord, let me do right by your people, because they are your people. You might recall when the archbishop came to St. Martin de Porres, his first visit to an urban community. I'll never forget that day. And you might remember what he said. He says, who's your pastor? Y'all said on point, Father Stephen Thorne. And he said, no, he's not. I am. I'm the archbishop. And Father Stephen takes my place when I'm not here. But I'm the bishop. I'll never forget that. And that's why I sent him all the bills. And all the mess. But no, seriously, it was a reminder to me that I serve at his pleasure. But more importantly, I serve at God's pleasure. And when it's time for me to move on, it's not about me. It's about the people. That's why I pray all the time. Lord, give me the wisdom to know my timing. Give me the strength to know my season. Because it's not about me. It's about you. And you growing to become the strong woman that God has called you to be. You becoming the man that God has called you to be. And if I get in your way, I don't want to block God's blessing. You see, leadership is not about you. It's about the people. And that's why I look to God to give me the strength I need to do what is right, even when you might disagree with me. Because I did not come here to be popular. I came here to serve the Lord, and I came here to serve you. I came here to do what God wants me to do. I came here to give God the glory and the honor. And that's why every morning I wake up I get on my knees and I thank the Lord that I'm still in the service of God. Amen. I thank the Lord. I've been blessed. But I say, Lord, let me do right by your people. Let me serve your people that they might grow and become strong and great because you are so great to us. Church, the only way we can do what Solomon did, what any great leader does, is look to God. Allow God to let you lead your family where you're the pastor of your family. To let God lead your community. Let God lead your ministry. Let God lead the things you're a part of. Folks should know you are a Christian by the way you conduct yourself. Amen. And let God lead your own spirit to know right from wrong. We go down that wrong road. You say, this is not right for me. I got to turn around and go back on the right road. All right. You see, the old folks had something called mother wit, father wit. They had a wisdom. Old mum down the street, she had all kinds of remedies. Wrapping you up with that towel on your chest. With that Vicks vapor rub. Loosen up that stuff in there. They knew how to put a little something together to have you sip on it that you might get better. A look she could give you when you came down all frustrated and just say to you, baby, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. You see, being intelligent and being wise are not always the same thing. You might have your PhD, but it has to be rooted in knowing right from wrong. The old folks would say sometimes, I enjoyed you. It meant they were happy to be in your presence. See your smile, and hear your laugh. Church, I enjoy you. I enjoy St. Martin de Porres. I enjoy you. We have to continue to look not to Father, but to God. To let God give you what you need, that you might be great, not just again, but continue to be great. Amen.